If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listening on Wednesday, we have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the light and love of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, our seminar topic is Dancing a Dream Awake. So take a deep breath and integrate your spiritual awareness, your sense of divinity and love and eternal existence. Just breathe it down all the way through your body and illumine your own beingness. Choose now to awaken from the dream. And anything, beloved, that's less than complete joy is a bad dream from which you will awaken. And you decide when. So we are the rainbow dancers, people of every tribe, culture, color, and creed, united with one purpose, to collectively awaken to the love that we are, and thus transform the earth into a paradise of living love. So we are representative of the one race of humanity, under one creator source. We are the people who live by the heart rather than by the mind. So, the first place for us to begin, perhaps, is to release all sense that there's anything whatsoever wrong with us or our life, right as it is today. Absolutely trust that you are exactly in life right now where you have placed yourself as the very, very best staging arena for you to reveal to yourself what you want it to know. Yeah. You're here because there's something that you wanted to scrutinize in time sequence and to experience through your sensory perceptions. So regardless of appearances to the contrary, it is all perfect, exactly as you'd have it to be. So you can put aside any kind of drama that you may be projecting onto the world around you or upon yourself as being impaired in any way. You remain as God created you, perfect, whole, and holy, and ever one with your Creator. There is nothing you can do to take that away from yourself, and there is nothing that you can do to add more to yourself. You are whole and holy. Now, so as we move into this topic, I would like for a moment to address the disappearance from the dream of two people that were very significant in my own life. And that would be Elizabeth Taylor and Jose Aguiles. And they both departed on the first day of the ninth wave, which was March the 23rd. And Elizabeth Taylor was significant because in terms of the sequential dreams that we call incarnations, my understanding is that she was actually the historical Cleopatra. That's why she played that role so well. She was also the third-born daughter of Pharaoh Akhenaten and Queen Nefertiti, embodied as Ankhesepaten, the wife of Tutankhamun. And it's very interesting because I actually got to meet her. I was sent by the hierarchy from my home to Las Vegas, where the set that she was on shooting The Only Game in Town, suddenly she came out of her dressing trailer, and it was like the Red Sea parted. Everybody disappeared, and I had a clear, direct approach to her and was able to give her the book, The Reappearance of the Christ, by Alice Bailey, in which I had written about her past life as Ankhesepaten and her past incarnation as Cleopatra, and a few other things about her life. I was shaking from head to toe, I must tell you. But we looked at that time so very much alike that it must have been shocking to her when I walked up and I said quite boldly, "I am your sister." And she went, "Oh, with those great violet eyes." Anyway, I kept correspondence with one of the contact people around her for many years, and worked with her upon the inner planes also for many years. And then gradually she was passed on to, I guess, another teacher because I stopped having those dreams. Now, Jose Arguelles, Valun Voltan, being his Mayan name, before he departed, he told his apprentice, Stephanie, "I have done all I can do for this planet. I'm being called to assist in the closing of the cycle from the other side." And he also reminded us to live in loving kinship with all life and with one another, and that it is love alone that matters. You know, Jose, in terms of mind codements, kind of started the ball rolling in 1987, 88. Many of us activated into the final stage of our dream dance episode, let's say. At that time, Jose Arguelles, being the catalyst for the harmonic convergence that occurred on August 16th and 17th, 1987. And his book, The Mayan Factor, made us aware for the first time of the Zolt'kin and the influence that it was having upon what he called the waves of the Zuvuya, which is the sequential cascading rays of waves of light that are bringing us like a series of birthing contractions into a new manifestation globally and collectively. So his passing was almost to me like a sign that perhaps many of us who are part of that coordinate may be passing on to other work fairly soon in one way or another. Doesn't mean necessarily that we'll go through the dream of death, but it might. Who knows? We will leave the planet in some way, and all of it is dream time. Whether we dream the dream of departure through death, or we dream the dream of ascension, or the dream of rapture, or the dream of stepping into another dimension, or the dream of being dimensionally translocated, or the dream of being beamed up in a spaceship. Now, before I get all of you upset, and you think, "Oh, that's all dreams," no, beloved, everything that has the element of suffering to it is part of a dream from which you will awaken. And the biggest suffering that most of us starseed have is a sense of being separated not only from God and the higher dimensional realms, but our spiritual star family and the people we love on other dimensions, worlds, planets, and within the starcraft. So don't despair. Everything you love will be greeting you as you awaken. Everyone and everything. from your pets to everything that you love, you will never, ever lose. Imprint that firmly in your heart and in your mind. You will never lose what you love. It will be found in the place of your full awakening. Without the element of suffering, fear, and separation. That's the only thing that's going to not be there is any vestige of pain. Wow. So trust that, beloved. So again and again, we hear the same message from every enlightened being. You are love, and love alone matters. So we are that love, and that love is our true nature and identity. So why do we see such cold-hearted cruelty and all of these scenarios of murderous terrorism and the hatred being enacted in the world? Well, that darkness lurks within every one of our unhealed minds. That's what we would call the ego mind. And if it were not so, we would not be seeing these scenarios of negativity reflected through our perception into the outer world. Interesting, isn't it? So you see, on the way to greater enlightenment, there is simply no wiggle room for dodging the truth that we are the world we see. Now, whatever we see in the world is due to decisions already made about what we would have to be real in our self-elected, self-generated world view. So the question is, to begin to really ask yourself why we choose to see what it is we're seeing. Jesus reminds us in A Course in Miracles to tell ourselves whenever we see negative things or find ourselves getting caught up in the dramas, I could be seeing peace instead of this. So seeing peace is a choice we can make. And we often don't make it because we pretend to forget that it's an option that we could make. Forgetting and ignorance, which are words for the separated sense of self we call ego mind, is something we consciously make a decision to do, even though we pretend to not be aware we're doing that. You can be so good in your vigilance of watching yourself from a distance as the witnessing consciousness that you can actually catch yourself in the very act of deciding to go into the ego's separation agenda. There's a split second when you could choose peace instead of separation and the conflict that's generated from separation. Jesus said there's only one problem, regardless of how it appears, and that is separation. And there's only one answer, no matter how many are offered, and that is the atonement, or the return to oneness. And he adds that when you want to see only peace, you will see only that. You know, it's our attachments to conflict that causes it to keep presenting itself in our lives. I think we've all known people who actually keep their lives in ongoing crises mode. They seem to go from one drama to the next, and the next, and the next. Why would anyone do that? Well, for one reason, some can only experience their existence through some form of physical or emotional pain. So pain is their major reference point for who and what they are. They've actually become like a method actor, one who has become so identified with the role that they're playing that they've totally lost any other sense of themselves. And that's really what we've done down here. So Jesus said that he will teach us how to truly see if we will turn to him first for our interpretation of the events in our lives. When we do that, the Holy Spirit within us will provide new insight and clarity, and we will be taught to see the real world that this ego's projection veils. It is a mindset that forms a barrier, and we are the only ones working in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. It's a joint effort here that can dispel that illusory, but very experientially real, veil. So we must always bear in mind that what we experience as a series of incarnations is really but a series of dreams. Just like if you've ever had a dream at night where you dream within the dream that you awaken, and then you fall asleep and you dream another dream, and then you dream that you awaken, but you don't really, and then you fall asleep and you dream another dream. That's exactly what reincarnation is. We are in a series of ongoing dream scenarios while all the time we are safe at home with God. And we will continue this until we awaken in and as God. And until we do, until we choose to awaken, we will continue to dream of being born and dying in various worlds and dimensions. So, I can hear some of you asking, well, is that all there is to that? No, beloved. When you awaken to immortal life, your real life begins. You're really not awake now. None of us are, as long as we see the world that's portrayed in the news. That means we are still in process of revealing to ourselves our oneness with God and the love that we are. We're still dealing with the illusions that we have projected outside to delay our arrival in full truth. And, you know, we'll do that until we decide otherwise. So nothing you see, feel, experience at all here is real. None of it. Nada. Nothing that is painful, ugly, terrorizing is real. No one really gets injured. No one can possibly die. Both are illusory appearances only. And the happiest dream I think we will ever have is when we awaken from the central illusion from which all illusion springs, which is death, and we are resurrected into eternal life. Oh, how glorious. What a glorious time. But in the meantime, we might as well enjoy our self-elected curriculum that we have opted for in stepping into this holodeck that we call earthly life here. We chose it. We might as well enjoy it. I'm sure that the Star Trek people who went into the holodeck and set the programming for a particular enactment, I'm sure they were having a very good time until they bought into and got too serious about the drama. And then somebody had to remember, you know, you can always say, stop program, computer. And we have to know how and when to say to our own computer, stop and end the program. So begin to remind yourself whenever you catch yourself getting all worked up, this is only a dream. It is not real. And Jesus teaches in A Course in Miracles, I am affected only by my thoughts. My thoughts have given the only meaning that anything has for me. I elect, I decide, and so it is to me. Sai Baba had said, too, that sometimes we create such a bad nightmare for ourselves that we suddenly awaken spiritually, just like we do physically when we've had a really terrifying nightmare, we'll suddenly awaken. In A Course in Miracles, Jesus has said that this world will end just like it began, with a dream. If we will ultimately awaken to laughter and joy in realizing that none of it was real. I remember when I was beamed up in a spaceship, you know, when I was in Athens, Greece, and I spent 2 weeks out of my body up with Ashtar in the command. I completely forgot ever having been on Earth. I didn't remember any of it. It totally vanished for me. And I went on living the life that I knew at that level until Ashtar said, "It's time for you to return." And I looked at him so funny and I said, "Return?" And he put his hand over my eyes. And the next thing I knew, I was back in a hotel room overlooking the Parthenon in Athens, Greece. Interesting time, interesting place, and an experience I'll never forget. Oh, by the way, on my way back to my body, I found that I had at least 5 bodies out there in different places in the world doing different things. And the only way I could track myself back to the body that I had a timeline commitment with was by tracing the pain which I was having physically. And in that way, I could find and re-enter the appropriate body. How weird is that? And how was your day? So, I wonder... I'm not going to even go there. So the world as it, appears now, with all the appearances of fear, warfare, and terrorism, will totally vanish when we awaken. And we are going to first awaken, we are told by Jesus, to a happier dream. But ultimately, we will fully awaken to our oneness with, in, and as God. And when will that be? Well, each soul decides that for themselves. You alone decide when enough is enough. And conflict will end when you want peace more than you want conflict. Because conflict is only there because we want it there. For whatever wackadoo reason, we're enjoying this thing that we have opted for, even though we pretend that we're not enjoying it. So it's the ego mind, sense of separate identity, at the mercy of a scary world that the ego prefers. Why? Because it's the only reality that the ego has. And that reality is accorded to it by the attention that we give to separation and fear. You see, you don't have an ego. You are not an ego. An ego is a choice to see through the lens of separation. And whenever you see yourself separate, the element of fear, false evidence appearing real, comes right in on that. So the fear is the evidence of that which never was, pretending to be as if it were. That's just the opposite of faith. Faith is the evidence of things unseen and the very substance of things hoped for. So fear and, faith is the exact opposite way of operating. Out of the divine self, and fear is the way of the operation of the false self. So just as your real divine nature is pure awareness, bliss, and love, so the false self is but the false belief of separation and fear. And on the topic of evil, evil is only ignorance of how to truly live. Yes, evil is live spelled backwards. And devil is lived spelled backwards. So the devil is really clinging to the past, primarily clinging to the ego's nightmare. Because everything, as I've told you many times, that we think is happening now has already happened. We are reliving the past with the option of choosing to awaken at any moment within the repetition of the scenario. We can say, stop, holodeck program, end the program, whenever we really want to do that. So going the opposite direction to life and living is really evil and the devil. And that is why evil always gets destroyed in the end and can never succeed or flourish, because it's not real. And only that which is God created and God imbued has eternal life. See how that works? So realize that everyone in your life also is representative of things within your own consciousness. Yeah, the people in your life are aspects of one divine spirit that you have cast in your own life's drama. Each character and every role and enactment is of your own casting call. How fascinating is that? Yeah. You know, Sai Baba has a real great way of describing what our relations are. He said, truth is your true father. Love is your true mother. Wisdom is your son. Purity is your daughter. Your true friends are self-realized people, yogis, and illumined ones. Isn't that interesting? So if you want to radically shift your paradigm, begin to look at the people in your life from that viewing lens. Assuming my daughter is myself, what part of me is asking for healing and love? Good question. And so on with each person in your life. So much of our energy is focused upon worrying about others. We worry about our spouse. We worry about our children. We worry about our friends, even our enemies. Why? Because we are seeing them through the eyes of the separated self. And that's why they appear to be separate individuals. That makes sense. Now, don't start beating yourself up, for heaven's sakes, over this information or use it against yourself. Just sit and have tea with it. Contemplate, what if? What if this is true? What if I am playing every role I've cast in my own life's drama? Just contemplate it and see what the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to you. This is true meditation. So you can see that as parts of yourself, if that's too wild a leap for you, then you could see the people in your life as roles that God has adopted, and disguises that the one Lord has appropriated within this Leela, this divine play that we call life. That's another way we could view it. But remember, your true spiritual self and the great over-self we call God is one and the same. Jesus said it this way, "Whatsoever you have done to the least of these, you have done unto me." Now know that every dream of separation has a beginning and an end. Truth alone is eternal, beyond time sequence. But dreams are temporal and passing like clouds, and therefore they have a beginning and an end. And in this dream of your, separated self, your appearance appears within the dream as your birth. Your disappearance from the dream appears as your death. But in truth, neither ever happened, nor could they happen, because you're made in the image and likeness of God as a spirit of immortal, eternal existence. So no matter how bad the dream experience may seem, it will pass and end. Jesus said in A Course in Miracles that a happy outcome to all things is assured. Wow, how cool is that? A happy outcome to all things is assured. You know, sometimes we say, this too shall pass. But maybe we didn't realize that it is there as an experiential scenario only due to our beckoning. Yeah. We have requested every experience we've ever had. That seems hard to believe, doesn't it? Why would anyone choose to be tortured or to have a horrible accident or be disfigured or go through the nightmare scenarios of war and terrorism and all that stuff? Well, you know, when you're in the immortal self prior to coming into the holodeck of life here, you have such an identification with your own immortal existence that you know that you know that you know you're not going to actually be in those scenarios. You're going to simply view them as consciousness vignettes. A vignette is like a little spotlighted segment within a drama. So each of your supposed incarnations are like little vignettes of enactment within this great overall drama that's called in Sanskrit samsara or maya, which is, again, the illusory appearance of that which could possibly be separated and jeopardized, but in highest truth remains ever one with God. So when you know that you are the immortal spirit, what should you care what happens to it in time and space? Sai Baba gives such a good example of that. He says that your shadow passes over dirt, manure, and mud, and rocks, and broken glass, and over fire pits, and over everything you can imagine, but nothing affects your shadow. Because you project your shadow, but you're not your shadow. So begin to think of your life down here as like a shadow play against the clear, pure backdrop of a neutral white screen of creation. And you project your shadow play there. And it appears on the screen. And because you have sensation, you begin to think you're actually in that shadow, in that role, in that scenario. And that's where, through meditation, and practicing the objective observer, we begin to pull back from that identification. We have little snippets of insight that we're not the body, we're not the mind, we're not our emotions, we're not our karma drama, we are not the ego, we are not the basic self, we are not the conscious self. What are we? We are God. Always have been, always will be, pretending to have a separate human experience. So these are statements of truth that are like a box of matches. You don't need all the matches in the box to light a fire of illumination in your consciousness. You only need one. So pick one truth out of the many keys that we share each week, and pick the one that works for you, like the master key for the lock, and use it and see if it doesn't ignite your own fire of divine cognition and conscious awareness. So you as truth are not marred, affected, or modified any more than your shadow is in passing through this dream of time, space, distance, separation, matter, material forms, and everything that goes along with the playing out of the various scenarios that involve forms. Whatever, again, another one of these brush strokes, whatever is in your life, however it may appear, bear in mind, it is because you alone have created, allowed, promoted, and opened the door and invited it in by some belief that you've held in your consciousness about what you wanted. Yeah, it's a relentless meditation that we carry into everything in our life. You know, we just keep practicing and how do we say it? We keep rehearsing this truth again and again and again until at some point it begins to displace the running scenario of misidentification and separative agendas that we keep reenacting. And then we hope somehow that something outside ourselves will come like a deus ex machina, like a big, you know, hand that comes down in the Greek drama and saves the hero or the heroine and lifts them out of the bad scenario that's being enacted. So God and the machine or the deus ex machina, we play out that scenario in every rescue thing that we create. Oh, Jesus is going to return. Oh, the spaceship is going to evacuate us. Oh, this is going to happen. Oh, that's going to happen. But you see, if you've never left the heart of God, why do you need any of those? Well, it could be part of your happy dream, I suppose. Yeah, it could be. That could be a happy dream. Jesus raptures you into the air and delivers you from the convulsions of a birth. I don't know. I don't get any pleasure thinking about anybody suffering. I just don't. I don't care how evil they are. I want everybody home safely. It's just, you know, the way I see things. God is either God of everyone or God of no one. And I believe that everyone is an incarnation of God. And that's the one reality, the one matchstick that I have used to light my fire. God alone is. Everything else is a temporary illusion. That's my reality. Not that I don't have dark lessons to learn. I do. I have plenty of lessons to learn. But I keep hanging my hat on that same peg again and again and again. God alone is. All else is a temporary experience and illusion. Works for me. You might want to try it if you haven't already. So Jesus in A Course in Miracles teaches that we have invented the world we see and given all the meaning that anything has for us. Wow. No ego wiggle room at all in the presence of truth. Truth, truth requires our total responsibility for whatever we have going on in our lives. Wow. Total responsibility. Now, that does not mean that we become callous to the sufferings of others. In fact, it's just the opposite. The ego is actually devoid of love. There's no love in the ego. There's lust, there's attachment, there's desire, but the ego mind is incapable of love. In fact, it's the very manifestation of selfishness. Therefore, it is only by reaching out to assist others in a spirit of selfless compassion that the ego self begins to get diminished, begins to starve out, begins to dissolve into the light of your loving. So these earth chain scenarios filled with scenes of devastation and death and despair are like Custer's last stand. The ego being represented here is Custer. And in these end times and last day scenarios, the crazed ego is pulling out all of the stops in a last-ditch attempt to exist. And every metaphor that you have for a devil, Satan, adversary, evildoer, etc., 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 is but another name for the evil of our own misidentification as being separate from all life. Separate from God, and separate from one another. So begin to recognize that the only evil we have is this constant choice to see ourselves as separate. So like Jesus said himself, "Lo, my enemies are of mine own household." He was speaking for all of us, I think. The Son of Man was speaking that. So the ego is projecting its full repertoire of scary scenarios at this time. We certainly have a plethora of it being revealed now in all the newscasts. So when we take responsibility for the evil we seemingly experience and are seemingly seeing outward, we will be less tolerant of excusing the countless ways we support separation in our life. Just begin to be more aware of where you're lending support to the oneness of life and when you are lending support to polarized states of separate interests, let's say. And the next time you want to project blame on anyone in government or on another nation or nationality or whatever, remember, your ego alone is the terrorizing insurgent. So the ego has only the power you give to maintaining separation and to espousing fear, false evidence appearing real. So you can learn to talk yourself out of believing in separation. You can talk yourself out of fear. Remind yourself continually that all life is one. And rehearse that sense of oneness until you become a method actor of your true identity and function as living love and as God. And one day, that will no longer be an act for you, but it will become your full realization of who you truly are. Now, only your love will cause this nightmare to disappear. Your love is like the sun. The ego is like a thick fog. So shine in your original radiance, your divine radiance and effulgence. Shine on everyone. Shine on every condition in your life. Your own radiance, your own loving goodwill. Smile and be happy, for these are manifestations of your loving. Love is the very highest rate of vibration, and service is the highest expression. So live in that loving service to all life, and you'll ascend just perfectly. You'll awaken in the heart of God through grace, and you'll begin to choose out of reanimating those holodeck programs of suffering and victimization and despair and death and pain and disease. In fact, sickness, Jesus calls a defense against the truth. The truth of our original wholeness and perfect divine health. Yeah, we even create dis-ease and sickness out of the ego's desire to say, look, I am the body. Look at the power I have. I can make you sick. I can lay you low. I can deprive you of joy and health and life. Don't believe the ego. It's the embodiment of the great lie. What is the great lie? The great lie is the original sin, that we are separate from God. That's the only real sin, is to state what is an absolute contrary lie to the truth of God, which is you remain ever one with God. So, you know, you will activate everything that you have intended to know at the moment it is required. All that is needed to pass from this 3D dimension into the new heavens and the new earth, which would be forms of the happy dream, will spontaneously arise within you as a knowing and awareness when it's needed. You don't need it a second before it's needed, but the minute it's needed, it's going to activate. This earth that we truly do love is made of the warp and woof also of love. And she is putting on her higher dimensional garments of light and is ascending into the glorified body, even as you are. We are all moving into whatever is next. Whatever radiant form we would like to espouse, we will have. It will be exactly as we want it to be, as we believe it to be, as we expect it to be, as we demand it to be. So watch what it is that you ask for. And learn, as Jesus says, to ask only for that which you really want to have in your life and experience. Ask for only what you want. You know, you ask people sometimes what they want, and they give you this whole checklist of what they don't want. But they don't tell you what they do want. This being a more negatively polarized planet than positive, we really need to mock up positive scenarios and begin to envision what we would like to have in our life. Begin to put those visions out. You know, daydream, do whatever you need to do to give yourself new vision, new imagery, new things to contemplate, whether you do it through music or art or scrapbooking or whatever. Find those things that keep your vibration flowing in those arenas that you want to experience more of. Put everything that you possibly can into the highest vibration of unconditional love that you possibly can. What that means is that you act without personal agenda. You act as an offering of your heart without strings attached. You don't look to see if people understand or have received it or anything. You're responsible only for yourself and your attitude as you act. That's where your responsibility ends. Take care of yourself, awaken yourself, save yourself, illumine yourself, raise your own vibration, and everything else is transformed automatically in that process. Excuse me. You know, it's interesting, the throat chakra is the chakra of dreams. That's where we fall asleep when we fall back into the throat, into the causal realm. And the causal realm is the realm that projects the seeds that cause birth and death cycles to occur. Unfinished karma, unfinished momentums that can only be exercised in the holodeck arenas of time and space are what draw you into the womb again in the dream of birth and draw you through the spiral of light into the other dimension in the dream you call death. So my throat is quite clearing and stuff tonight, because together we are working in those areas of where we're asleep and where we're dreaming and where we keep reanimating the separative agendas and scenarios. So it's just another thing that we just notice. We don't make it right or wrong. We just notice what's going on without any need to apologize for it or to shrink from looking at it or to be afraid of seeing what's there. It takes great courage to see the face of God, as John Roger has constantly taught us, because we must learn to see the face of God in ourselves. Only when we see the face of God in our own eyes and face will we see it outside of ourselves. You can only see outside what you have inside in consciousness, which is like the catch net of everything that you have participated in as a consciousness. You know, it's really, really simple. You keep what you want, and you just let what you don't want atrophy and fall away. Things spiritually atrophy when you don't put attention on them. Energy follows thought. The more you pay attention to something, the more you will enforce it in your life. That's why Sai Baba says if you have a problem or a worry or whatever you don't want, don't talk about it. Don't call up your best friend and say, oh, you know, this terrible thing happened and blah, blah, blah. What you're doing is running that up on a flagpole and saluting it, and pretty soon you got this program running, and it's driving you in a direction that you really don't want to go in. But who is giving it the gas? You are. So learn to take that foot off the gas pedal of the ego's momentum and be very conscious what you are supporting with your words, your thoughts, your beliefs, your attention, and the story you keep telling yourself. We looked last week at what we're rehearsing in our life. So let's begin to rehearse what we want in our life. Not as affirmations and storytelling so much, as really, really examining our heart and asking, what do I really want to have happen in this moment, in this situation, in the dynamics of my life as it is now? And then pretend as if it is so. And it will be. That's how you make it appear, is that you act as if, and as you act as if and step into that enactment, begins to materialize. So abstract your attention from all of your pain-filled scenarios and quit talking about them and decide not to rehearse them anymore. And they will just drift away and soon be replaced by the new visions that you are seeding into your life. So, therefore, it is all prepared for you. There's nothing at all to fear. Just walk with God through these, you know, this last few scenarios of the third dimension and the fourth dimension, where you have a collapsing of the experience of time and almost an immediate manifestation. So just walk lightly with great awareness and great faith and trust in God. And just let the things collapse in the third dimension. Just let everything go. Just practice living in God, in the fullness and the wholeness of God. And you'll find that you can do all things. And that you begin to walk in miracle enablement as the Holy Spirit has more and more access to the fullness of your instrument in your life. And when we are filled with love, we have great peace of mind. And from a pure heart, we are unaffected completely by the adverse conditions, the failures and the losses, or anything else that seems to happen in this world. So that is the strength of character that is gained by our loving the Lord with all of our heart and all of our soul and our fellow man as ourself. And from that self-confidence, we will generate this immense internal power, which is the divine spirit within us. And we will see transcendental miracles, signs, and wonders flow forth from our life. And we will no longer experience self-imposed limitation. So, we are the Rainbow Dancers, and we came here to dance the dance awake. And we will succeed, because the dream will be no more, and we will awaken whole and holy in the heart of all that exists. So, welcome to the first day and the rest of your eternal life. Let's go out chanting, and I hear you. And I you, God bless you, and God willing, I'll be with you next week. I'm Commander Lady Athena of the Ashtar Galactic Command. Adonai.